damaged metal hammered and pressed back into something approximating the proper shape. Some final work remained, replacing lock plates and checking the fittings on the main gateway contacts. Christy could handle that with some guidance from Rick. Jack and Doc had joined JB and Ryan on the upper floors of the rambling dacha, each with his blaster at the ready. Both JB and Ryan had fetched their assault rifles, hoping to deter an initial attack before it got too close.
Lot'll help us more than them.
Jack squinted at the distant village. He was wearing his fur coat, and his white hair floated about his shoulders like living frost in the cold wind that winnowed in from the east.
Sure. We can pick him off from cover. If they don't use any heavy axe, they'll have to get close to take us out.
Ryan glanced at the secret door, knowing that once they retreated inside it, their options became limited. They could make the jump successfully, surrender, or die.
Send them in. Hold the sick patrols in reserve back by the wags. I want to keep the chillings to a minimum among our men. Tell them to hurry. It'll be first light before long. Then the advantage will lie with them.
Here they come, from toward the river. Anything on any other side?
Nothing.
No, not a creature is stirring. Not even a mouse.
Nothing this side. Looks like a one-in-all-in attack then. How many?
Around 30 or 40, straggling. Can't see sec, man. Most got muskets and old blasters. Don't seem in too much of a hurry.
Ryan walked around to the front.
Jack, come here. Zemionian's using Stoops as a first wave to draw fire. Use up ammo. Maybe he'd take one or two of us out if they're lucky. Cold bastard.
Doc watched the other sides from the roofless attic. The peasants were strung out across the field in a rough skirmishing line. They had proved so reluctant to follow the wolf pack toward the sinister dacha that Zemionian had been forced to use a handful of his precious trained sec men to push the villagers along with the threat of a bullet in the back. He watched them begin to advance, then turned to order the heavy wags to warm up their engines and to have the two Gren launchers broken out and set up. Zemionian suspected that they might soon need them.
Time to slow them. They're inside 600 paces.
Close enough.
Ryan's Heckler & Koch G-12 caseless rifle bragged a laser-enhanced sniper scope. He pressed the butt into his shoulder and squinted along the barrel, seeing the slow-moving serpent that wound its way toward them. A faint mist was rising from the river, drifting lazily across the fields. It enveloped the feet of the advancing Russians, rising to their waists, so that they seemed to be wading through water. JB's rifle also had a laser optic sight that made the targets as clear as day. Both men had their long-range blasters set on single shot, not wanting to waste any ammo on triple burst or full auto. At less than half a mile against such passive victims, single shots were all it took.
By Lenin's tomb, they will kill them all long before they reach the house.
I think so. I hadn't known they had rifles. Such men would be skillful with such weapons. Yes, comrade. I think you are right. Pass the order.
To retreat, comrade Major Commissar?
No. To advance on the double.
But...
But what, comrade?
They are being smoothed away by the blasters of the terrorists.
Correct. And the terrorists will not have that much ammunition. The more they waste on that stinking offal, the less they will have to shoot at our sec men when they go in. Carry out my order quickly, will you, comrade?
Yes, comrade Major Commissar.
And bring up the Gren launchers. We shall be needing them soon. Very soon.
The bodies flopped to the freezing mud at regular intervals. Zemianian's planning was partly correct. Neither Ryan nor JB had a limitless supply of ammo. Both men found it hard to believe that the Russians kept on coming. Indeed, after a couple of minutes, they began to move faster, their ambling walk speeding to a clumsy trot. And they began to return fire with their antique muskets, though none of the shots reached the dacha. In the first 2.5 minutes, firing steadily and taking careful aim, Ryan and JB had put down over a dozen of the peasants, most dead before they hit the ground. JB paused to wipe his glasses.
How much longer before they quit?
I figure we'll chill every one of them before they get close enough to do us any serious harm.
Maybe we should lay them down first.
Looks to me like the sec men are driving them on. The more we chill, the less there are to come at us again. Let them come, JB. We'll oblige them.
Rick had been sleeping for several minutes while Christy ran up to the top of the stairs to wreck the situation. Ginsburg woke to the sound of her boot heels clattering on the steps as she came back down into the gateway control room.
Are we winning?
Christy told him what was happening.
Remember the Alamo? Ryan Crockett and J.B. Travis. Guess I'm like Jim Bowie, wounded down here. But I'm ready to take some of the bastards with me. Blow these gas cans to hell and back. You got a pyro tab, Christy? Yeah, give it to me.
Don't be triple stoop. When we go, you come with us. You don't need a pyro tab for anything.
The smile of the dying man grew broader, tearing at Christy's heart.
Now who's the triple stoop, lady? I know where I'm going, and there won't be nobody on the road with me. Give me the fire lighter. I can just make it, even with my fingers fucked.
Christy reached in the pocket of her pants and handed him a small pyro tab. All Rick had to do was flip open a catch, and he'd have instant ignition. With an effort, Rick managed to grip the tab in one trembling hand.
Thanks, sister. Hey, Santa Ana, we're killing your soldiers so near, so the rest of the Deathlands will hear. And remember,
Christy knelt and helped Rick take a sip of water.
They're running.
Stop shooting. Once they're broke, there's no profit in chilling any more of them.
The dawn's pale light was creeping across the misty land, throwing shadows ahead of the fleeing men and boys. By now, the fog had filled in all of the hollows, so that most of the corpses lay invisible in the swirling whiteness.
How many dead, Comrade Captain? You watched through the glasses?
Yes, Comrade Major Commissar. I counted 23 fall, of which all but one failed to.
He lost the thread of his sentence through his fear of the blood-eyed officer. Zimyanyan smiled thinly.
You mean that 22 are dead and one wounded?
No, Comrade Major Commissar. The wounded man rose and was shot immediately and fell again. He did not rise a second time.
Thank you, soldier. Time for the final wave of the attack, I believe. Bring up the wags and ready the grenade launchers. They are to fire only at my personal command.
They come again?
Of course they will, Jack. It's coming down to the gun. Ruskies know we're here. They know we can't run.
But we can jump. Now the gateway's nearly ready.
Doc had been listening from the damaged floor above them, with Zorro cowering at his side.
The door is nearly completed, gentlemen. That is perfectly true, but I fear that it doesn't mean we will necessarily find the chamber working when we attempt it. The only way to test it is to use it.
What could go wrong, Doc?
Who could know that, my dear friend? Who knows the face that launched 1,000 ships and something the topless towers of somewhere or other, if you take my meaning.
No.
Tarnation. The Mattrans might simply not function at all, and we shall look pretty fools sitting there waiting for our communist friends to pop us in their bag. Or it might work a little.
Damn fucking what, Doc?
Then we might all...